Welcome to Radio Mojo Plus.
Good morning and welcome to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Jo McGarry, plus Bobby Curran. Here to bring you the best of eating, drinking, living, and sports in Hawaii. All of it in one mixed plate this morning. So thank you for being with us. Thank you for joining us. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm ready for hour four.
There you go. It's a stellar performance of you to stay with us. But, you know, every week it has been, you know, gaining momentum in terms of being exciting about sports and now developing into being able to go and start watching here in Hawaii and all of those things. So it is every week something new develops, I think.
I think that's absolutely true. And a couple of things that we got to talk about in the sports world. Tomorrow morning, by the way, Dave Matlin's going to join the program, and he is going to make the first public release of how they plan to distribute season tickets.
Wow.
And that's going to be big.
I bet that has taken hours of thinking about how to do it.
Maybe more than that. But, I mean, I think Dave Matlin has decided a long time ago he took this job to do the job, not to keep the job. He's going to do – I think he can handle – he could live with if somebody's just they if it frustrates enough people that they made a change, he could live with it if he feels like he's done the right thing.
And he'll always will. I agree with you 100% because if you look at every decision that he's made, and he's had some tough ones since he began his job, he's gone through a very interesting period at University of Hawaii Sports. He just makes a decision and then he sticks by it, and you just always have the feeling he's thinking, that's the right decision. I gave it a lot of thought. That's what I'm doing, and
He said he got that advice a long time ago from his dad.
Was that right?
Who was a long-time baseball executive.
Oh.
So he was sort of born to the business.
Yeah, kind of. So, yeah.
And anyway, he has done that. He's stuck with it, and I think this is going to be interesting. I have a little heads up on what's going to happen, but I'm going to save that because he will present that in the way that he feels most comfortable. And I just think that that's – I don't think there was any way on this to keep everybody happy. You know what could have been a minefield is this whole T.C. Ching playing.
Of course, that's what I mean. There's so much going on for him.
That looks like it was, under the circumstances, I think it was absolutely the best decision.
Interesting. So tomorrow, if you are a UH sports fan, tomorrow's interview with Dave Matlin is going to be something you don't want to miss because there are so many season ticket holders who are so invested. I mean, not just financially, but just emotionally in watching teams.
That's exactly true. And here's the problem. There's going to be roughly, after you take away students and opposing teams and all that kind of thing, about 7,000 tickets. And there's roughly 17,000 season ticket holders.
Well, can he keep everybody happy? Well, I mean, you don't need to be the brain of Britain to do that, Matt.
I'm just saying, you're right. Exactly. You don't have to be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire to know the answer on that one.
So I think, you know, we can never get Dave Matlin on our show because he's super busy, and we have asked him a couple of times, and I do appreciate that he's very busy to sort of just chit-chat with us. But I think that's if his dad really did give him that advice, that's very good advice to give someone because you can imagine the second guessing that might go on.
Well,
if
it does go on in every – I think that's true for anyone in his position and many related positions. I think it's true for coaches as well as administrators. I do think that that's probably a great piece of advice that Lou Matlin gave him a long time ago.
Because it must just, once you've made that decision, it's like, okay, I'm done. I don't need to think about it anymore. I'm doing it, and I know what the consequences are. Whereas just think of all the people who are constantly to-ing and fro-ing and back and forth.
Well, we see that, right? We see that in with some administrators. We see it with the chairman of these conferences.
Yes, who are all influenced by other people and not their own thing.
I mean, look at Mark Emmert, who's the executive director of the NCAA. I mean, he has flip-flopped on so many things. And the constant effort to avoid blame and to, you know, curry favor. I just, it's a, it's endless, and I don't ever think in the long run it works.
And it's just kind of a bit weak, too. I mean, when you see these guys and it's so transparent that money is the motivation, you know, who admires that at the end of the day?
Right.
If you can't make a decision because you're afraid of what somebody's going to say to you, you shouldn't be in that job, really.
Yeah. If you're not, don't have the courage of conviction to do the best thing for whatever organization you represent, you probably are in the wrong business.
Although you can actually be, I think, on the other side of that. Like, I think sometimes I, because as you know, I do a lot of restaurant advisory work. I'm not putting this on the same scale as, you know, working at the University of Hawaii, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I do a lot of work, and in my daily, you know, travel and interaction through the culinary world here, I do meet a lot of people who want to open up restaurants. And I, as you know, really tell them, advise them, help them often by just saying, I don't think you should do this. And several times I've been on panels and I've said, like, I remember I was on a panel the last time we were allowed to do things live with, you know, major landlords in Hawaii. And I said, you know, my thought is that there's really a lot of people who shouldn't be allowed to open up restaurants. And everyone started laughing. And I didn't think that's really funny. I thought it was just true.
Well,
but I can
it's
see
how
that
you
people...
put it. It shouldn't be allowed is different than that I would advise not to open.
But I think
you're almost saying there should be a law against it.
Well, to save them from themselves, there should be. But I can see sometimes that, like, when I say things that are just, I'm sticking by it, I can see people laugh because they're like, oh, my God, I can't believe she just said that. So you probably, I'm sure Dave Matlin doesn't ever make a decision and then have people burst out laughing. That's my point, right? You can be a little bit too strident. But I don't mean to be. So if you're one of the people that I've told you shouldn't open a restaurant, or if I've suggested, you know, you probably have saved yourself about at least $500,000 or $600,000.
Well,
so
I
there
mean,
you
here's
go.
The thing. Maybe if I was, you know how I sort of a little blunt.
I do. Mm-hmm.
I think I might say, well, they say, well, why do I shouldn't let somebody? I said, because you are going to lose every dollar you
right.
ever had and every dollar you could borrow and alienate every relative from whom you borrowed. That's what's going
That's what
to
will happen.
Happen
if you open. I saw a couple of people this week, actually, where I just was like, And sometimes, I'll tell you what happens with restaurants before we get on to the restaurants we're going to talk about this morning and our guests. What is interesting is because the restaurant industry does have an element of ego in it, you know, we all know those chefs who really do think they're the bee's knees. Every time I say that, I wonder where that phrase came from. But anyway, people who really think they've got it, there's no dissuading them. So sometimes, like I found myself this week twice weighing up the situation and just saying to the people involved, okay, let's see how you do. Because there was just no point in saying, no, it's not going to work. Anyway, that's me and my world for the week. I hope everything is well with you all in your world. And I hope that you're looking forward to discovering some new restaurant finds, because we have a bunch of them this morning. And there's a new restaurant opened. There's one opening. We're going to talk to Thomas Obungan from Frolic Hawaii about Feast by John Matsubara, as well as a bunch of restaurants that he's been checking out in the past couple of weeks. And that's always really good fun. I always love interacting with Thomas to find out where he's been eating. And then later this morning, Christian Self is going to join us. Christian is the owner of Bevy Bar in Kaka'ako. He's kind of the anchor of all those restaurants that popped up around him when he opened Bevy many years ago now. I don't know how many, but it has to be 7 or 8. And he is also the owner of, I think, one of the best named restaurants in town. It is a small taco restaurant in Kaka'ako, and the name of it, Bobby, is Taco Ako, which I think is
Taco
Ako, and I think it's a great name. So we're going to be talking with Christian about the bar scene in Bevy and also what's happening at Taco Ako and beyond. So that's going to be fun this morning. And, of course, we've got PGA updates coming up because, of course, it's the PGA weekend. So that's always really fun. I know that's one of your favorite things to do is to
By the way, if you watch this, if you start to watch a little bit of this tournament, it will remind you very much, especially when you get the ocean views of Duck,
South Carolina.
North Carolina, where we have gone for several beach weekends, and this is that kind of environment. Really nice.
And there's a lot of people I see right there.
Full crowds, I think.
And no social distancing.
Well, it doesn't.
It's hard to do, isn't it, if you're just walking around?
You're walking around a golf course. How do you do that exactly?
Yeah, I know. You're right, Sarge. Well, let's not get into all of that, like wearing masks or not wearing masks or social distancing or hugging. Or
I've argued with enough people today already.
Let's not go there. Yes, so this morning we're going to be taking you to a lot of different new restaurants. And then those of you who are fans of Fat Cheeks, so Fat Cheeks were this great little restaurant that for some time was over at the Ohana Marketplace, along with their amazing Garibaldi's Pizza, which has a huge following of its own. They have opened up a new place in that 808 building, which Thomas and I will talk about in just a bit. And I can give you a scoop this morning. They are about to open a Fat Cheeks at Ward, where Mocha Java used to be. And you are the first people to hear that this morning. We're going to be chatting with the owners next week, hopefully, to find out what that menu will be. But I can tell you, they have created a new menu for that Ward area, and it's the perfect spot for them, because not only are they going to be able to do their amazing sandwiches and salads, but it's got that great ability to either sit outside the little counter area or grab and go or just drive up and pick up. So I think that's going to be a really, really excellent start to their flourishing restaurants. And then when Thomas joins us, we'll talk about what else they're up to. Lot of new restaurants opening, lots of buzz in the restaurant industry, every restaurant very busy. I would say, if you want to go out this weekend, you better get online and start making reservations right now. All the restaurants are busy.
So are they still at 50%?
Still at 50%, although we are hoping for an announcement very soon that restaurants will be permitted to go back to normal. And gosh, do they need it, because as we anticipated coming out of a year of them having rent issues, most restaurant owners are, a few of them are just fully paid up and they've done an incredible job working with their landlords. But some of them are truly struggling with rent that was deferred instead of abated. And so they've got these big, it's like having a big lump sum mortgage due all of a sudden. It's just overwhelming. So the sooner we can get our restaurant doors fully opened and people back into reasonable distances, then the sooner the restaurants will, I think, hopefully start being less stressed. I mean, there is a combination right now of they're not only stressed because they're not fully open, but they're stressed because they can't get enough staff. So all of that. We are going to go and take a short break, I think. We're going to stay here for just another minute and then we're going to go and take a break. So yeah, one of the things, and please, can I ask everyone, be patient when you go out. I've had a lot of people saying to me recently, oh my gosh, you know, the service wasn't very good or wasn't what it used to be. There are owners of restaurants right now who are scrambling in the background doing their own cooking. I mean, DK Kodama, for example, has been the cook and bottle washer at his restaurant, Vino, you know, for the past year. You know, other very well-known restaurant owners are doing, you know, the salad stations, the prep bars. I'm talking to endless numbers of restaurant owners who are working every day in their restaurants because they can't get any staff. People are not that keen to come back to work. That's a whole other topic on its own. But be patient when you go to patronize your favorite restaurants. If the service is a bit slow or if things aren't coming out as quickly as they used to, just take it all in your stride. It's all part of us getting back to normal. And we're lucky just to be able to be out there anyway. So think of it that way. But do make reservations. Restaurants are still very busy, especially if you want to go into Waikiki this weekend. Super busy over there. All right, now we're going to go and take a really short break. We will be right back. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu, 92.7 FM and 1420 AM.
Hey, welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I hope all is great in your world this morning. If you want to know more about what we do and our work with restaurants, then please go to our website, mojomcgarry.com. And if you want to hear any of these podcasts as they post, then go to radiomojohawaii.com. Although I've been very remiss the last couple of weeks, but today they will all be up to date, I promise. Someone who I bet you never forgets to put anything on a website, because he is a social blogger of the highest quality, as well as everything else he does at Frolic and at his company Slug Media, is Thomas O'Bungan, who's joining us this morning. Good morning. How are you, Thomas?
Good morning. I'm well. I am good. So excited to be here.
It's so lovely to always have you. Shall we talk about some of these new places first? I mean, there's some really kind of nice, exciting places opening, right?
Absolutely. So today I just posted a blog on Heather Lukella, HB Baking. She just opened a ice cream pie shop in Chinatown called Slice. And it's inside of Jolene's Market, which they serve all of the really the lobster rolls, lobster melts. It's the former Regal Bakery, but it's the same family. But yeah, she started this as a side gig a couple of years ago, started making ice cream pies here and there as an experiment. And through the pandemic, it kind of evolved into something a little bit more serious. And now she actually has a shop.
Now, this is something that she's really created herself, isn't it? She's got a really good pedigree. She worked at Nobu, and she worked at Vintage Cave. And she's kind of created this, like, okay, I'm going to make ice cream pies that you can buy the slice like a pizza or as a big cake. It's so unique.
It is. And, you know, it's one of those things where, like, It came out of a need for some kind of dessert. So she started working with restaurant XO, Kenneth Lee, and he was like, oh, I need dessert. And so one day Heather was like, oh, let me put something together. And she created like a mango ice cream kind of pie/cake thing. And it kind of evolved from there. And she worked kind of with her husband, David, to come up with an ice cream pie called the Snuggy Bear. She was like, okay, what do you want? What kind of flavors do you like? And he was like, oh, I love Jamocha almond fudge and Heath bars. And so she put that together in her pie. She makes all of the ice creams and the crust and the toppings, and boom, it's their most popular flavor, the Snuggy Bear.
And the most popular name, I'm sure, just ordering one. I mean, how could you not smile ordering that? Of the ones that you've tasted, and I know when you go and before you write your blogs, you always taste as many things as you can. Which are your personal favorites? What are you in love with?
So I'm like a little kid at heart, and so I discovered one called the Strawberry Shortcake. And it's basically a sugar cookie crust with strawberry ice cream, birthday cake pieces of actual cake, and birthday cake ice cream layered with fruity pebbles and rainbow sprinkles. So I was like, this is magical just by looking at it.
Oh my gosh. That's one of those things where you have to go and order that on a day where you're not feeling so great to cheer you up, or a day when you're feeling amazing to celebrate. It's like, there's no reason not to order that, Thomas. Yep. Let's remind everyone where she is. She's in Jolene's, within Jolene's Market, right?
Yes. So she has her own little nook within Jolene's Market. They have a new parking system at Chinatown Cultural Plaza. So it's all automated now, and they do validate the parking. I believe it's like a free for the first 30 minutes. So you can run in and grab to go. But yeah, it's, And the pies are actually available. They might be closed. They're usually closed on Mondays, the slice, but you can still order pies when they're not there. So Jolene's Market can go and grab the pies for you. So they're available anytime that Jolene's is open.
Perfect. And I can tell you that the very exciting news that Jolene's is going to be opening another location within, I think, the next couple of weeks. Yes. And I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say where it is, so I'm going to double check with them first. But they have taken over a new lease. It's a fantastic location. The people who are in that neighborhood, I think, are going to be absolutely thrilled to bits. I can give you the general area. It's in Eva. So I think they're going to do really, really, really well. So that's our second scoop of the morning. But I'll check in with them first just to get the dates on when they're opening. But I know it is really soon. So that's exciting for them. I really like what they're doing. I love their, famous for their like lobster sandwiches. And I do like what they're doing. I think it's a good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The concepts are really great. And I think the response has been phenomenal for everyone.
Okay, so that has got our sweet tooth satisfied this morning, Thomas. How about there's a smokehouse coming pretty soon to Kaka'ako Sunset Smokehouse. What about that?
Yes. So James Kim posted a couple of weeks ago that they were going to be opening Kaka'ako, and so I had to pry a little bit more. I had to find out where. I believe it's on Cook Street where they have those warehouses that are painted with powwow all over. So they've got the murals are covered in. So he was able to acquire two of those spaces. So it's a big expansion for them. And so let me just back up. And Sunset Smokehouse, they're from originally had been on the North Shore in Sunset Beach, parked at the Texaco. It was a small food truck.
Right.
He started just, smoking brisket and ribs and stuff like that. But slowly started building up a really loyal following. Eventually moved to Wahiwa, where he's at right now, expanded his truck. He's done a couple of pop-ups. He was actually at Hawaii Food and Wine Festival a couple of years ago as well at their backyard barbecue event. So that was a big boost for him. I think he makes some of the best Texas-style smoked brisket, pulled pork, smoked sausages that I've ever tasted, even compared to stuff I've had in Texas. It's amazing.
Yeah, and people love him and love what he's doing. So do you have a timeline? Did he share when he's going to be opening in Kaka'ako?
Yeah, so they're looking at about August. So it's, towards the end of summer, trying to get these two big smokers from Texas over here. So that's what he's headed to Texas soon to pick those up and make those come its way over the ocean. He's cranking out stuff in Wahiwa until about Memorial Day, and then they're going to take a little break, work on the location in Kaka'ako, and they'll have both. So they'll have the new flagship in Kaka'ako and their original location in Wahiwa.
Sounds good. I can smell the smoke in Kaka'ako in the air already. That's going to be a really, really nice addition to the aroma of plumeria and everything else in the air. Hey, I don't want to run out of time, Thomas, before we get a chance to chat about John Matsubara's, not so new anymore, but certainly to a lot of people still new because he's tucked away up in Manoa. Let's talk a little bit about Feast and what they're doing. And I want to encourage people to go to the website Feast, because I know that you've worked with John really closely, and part of the reason that their social media and their website look so great is because of you at Slug Media.
Yes, so thank you. Yeah, so John Matsubara is one of my clients at Slug Media. We've been helping them for about over a year now during the pandemic and whatnot, and we just restarted with them earlier this year. They've been really changing a lot of stuff, and they want to just rearrange the way that people experience them. Before it was mostly a takeout, it's a fast casual, so you could order in and eat there. But he found more success with people doing takeout and online ordering. And so now he has a lot more people who have been coming by just to stop by and pick up stuff, and he's noticed the traffic is different. So he introduced a new concept for like a market. Think of a bodega or mini mart where they have all kinds of things that you can just grab to pick up and take to the park, or if you want to add to your meal, you could do that. So they have expanded their list of desserts. They've got like this bombucha chocolate cake, slices of bombucha chocolate cake. They've got a Godiva cheesecake. And they're slowly rolling out more frozen desserts. So they're looking for different dessert partners to include in their freezer, their chest freezer. So they got all of these refrigerators and freezers where you can just go in and pick up stuff to add to your order.
And, you know, this is a great time of year to remind people, too, that in addition to John's menu at Feast, which is a really, it's kind of elevated, kind of, you know, grab-and-go burgers, sandwiches, salads, all those kind of things. But he does catering. As you were saying, you can drive by and pick up. And, you know, we're getting into June. We're getting into graduation. We're getting into people being summery and hopefully gathering a bit more together. So great, great place to go for catering. And, of course, very easy to order online.
Absolutely, yeah. Easy to order online. And we're doing specials by the week. So we've got stuff that's keto friendly. We've got stuff that he's working on that's vegan friendly. Snacking, if you want to do like charcuterie, it's going to be a really exciting summer for us.
So feastrestauranthawaii.com is the website. It was designed, of course, and maintained by Slug Media, by Thomas and his partners over there. And I love how you guys adapt. Just like the restaurants are adapting, you adapt too. So you change the website up to make it more user-friendly in terms of delivery and seeing menus. And there's a lot of ducking and diving going on in the industry, isn't there, Thomas? Everybody's just changing to what needs to be done.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of that. We mostly focus on the social media aspect of Feast, just because that's where we see a lot of people gravitating towards. So we like to do a lot of videos, a lot of updates, just to keep current and to always keep up and ahead of the trend. So we're always trying to figure out what the next big hit is going to be.
You know, I heard a really good piece of advice yesterday from business owner Tana Dang from Eden in Love. I was fortunate to be moderating a business conversation for the Chamber of Commerce Hawaii. And Tana said that her advice to people in business currently is do one social media thing really, really well. And I thought that was such good advice. She says she chose Instagram, does nothing else because it's too much of a time suck, and they do really well at that. Would you say that was something that, I mean, obviously not for you because you were, you know, a master at social media, but for a lot of people, do you think that's good advice? Is just pick something, whether it's Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and do it really well?
Yes, I tend to agree with that, especially because of the amount of energy it takes to invest in putting into social media, especially if you're doing it for yourself and for your business. It really does take a lot of concentration to figure out what and who your audience is going to be and how they're going to respond to that and the type of stuff you post. So yeah, I think that's great advice. Yeah, and Instagram for locals is definitely probably the number one pick as well.
All good advice. And as always, lovely to talk to you, but of course we've run out of time, so you'll have to come back very soon so we can talk about more of what's new. You can, of course, find out on a daily basis what Thomas is up to if you go to the Frolic Hawaii site, which is now, of course, HonoluluMagazine.com, which is awesome. You can read Thomas's blogs there, and you can find out everything that he's up to, including if you go there right now this morning, you will see his new blog post about the ice cream pies from Heather Lucala, who we were talking about at the beginning of the interview this morning. Thomas, thank you so much for joining us. It's such a pleasure to chat with you. Have a great week.
Thank you, Joe. Talk to you soon.
We are going to go and take a really short break. We will be right back. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
This is Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu.
Hey, welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Joe McGarry, here to bring you the very best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii, which we do every Thursday morning. We bring you the best of restaurants, of new restaurants, of restaurants who are doing special events. And once a month or so, we check in. Well, we try and do it regularly once a month, actually, with Thomas Obangan of Frolic Hawaii and Slug Media to find out what he's been up to, because there are some really good restaurants opening up, and you've got to have help from people who are running all over town to make sure that we catch the very best of them. If you're in the mood for an ice cream pie, then I really do think that over at Jolene's, within Jolene's Market, Heather Lukela is doing something that no one else is really doing. They do look absolutely delicious. We're going to keep you up to date with everything that is happening in the world of food. We didn't have time to talk about new restaurants opening. We mentioned that Fat Cheeks is going to be opening over at Ward, and they have a new concept with their beautiful thin crust pizza that they were doing at the Ohana Marketplace for quite some time. That is opening up in that 808 building. They just opened over there. So if you're a fan of super thin crust pizza, then you might want to drive by. That 808 building is on, is it Sheridan? It's that road that leads down. Medigo Dairy is on the same road. It leads down to Ala Moana Centre, and you'll find them there. You can run in and check them out, and we will hopefully have them with us next week on the show to talk more about what they're doing and expanding. And you know, it's amazing how many people are expanding, because you know, you can think that during the pandemic it might have been challenging for a lot of people, which it was. I mean, 60-70 restaurants sort of disappeared from sight, but so many restaurants have managed to keep on going, and then new restaurant owners are coming into town really with a ton of enthusiasm, ready to get going. And just in the past couple of weeks alone, we've been able to work with a number of different restaurants. In fact, I can tell you, just to give you an example, we're working with 14 different restaurants right now who are all either opening or expanding, all at the same time. So there's a lot of movement going on in the world of food and wine. And it's a great testament, I think, not just to all the people who managed to stay open and get through that incredible year, but also to the vibrancy of the food and beverage industry. It is an industry amongst the best in the world for being resilient, and it will take a lot to beat down some of certainly our best and favorite restaurants. Someone who knows a tremendous amount about how things have been over the past year and how he's had to pivot and adapt is Christian Self. He is the owner of Bevy Bar in Kaka'ako and, of course, the wonderfully named Kaka'ako. Christian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great. It's so lovely to chat with you and, of course, to hear your lovely Liverpudlian accent, in case people are listening and going, where is he from? Christian, we don't need to focus on, you know, last year, because thankfully it is behind us. But how are you doing? How are things? Give us kind of an overview of Bevy and Taka'ako.
Things are doing okay. Compared with what we might have expected, things are a little bit better than we thought the position we thought we would be in right now. We thought things would be still pretty dire, but it seems like things are bouncing back a little bit better than we had anticipated.
That's really encouraging, isn't it? I know everybody just went through just such trauma, but the one thing that, you know, we've heard consistently from our restaurant owners and bar owners is that it was the dedication of the people in your neighborhood, the loyal customers, the people who just kept coming back, that kept everything going. Would you say that was your experience?
Oh, I would say that 1,000%. It's been like just so remarkable, just the outpouring of like love that we've received from the community and just the people in Hawaii. Without their support, I mean, I think small businesses would be so dead and buried, and that speaks volumes from like just us. You know, we can't say thank you enough to the, you know, the people in Honolulu, Oahu, just, you know, for constantly coming back and visiting us and just showing us some love.
Of course you deserved it because you've been, how long have you been there? I was trying to remember. I was thinking it must be 7 or 8 years since Bevy popped up there.
Yeah, so this will be our 8th year anniversary, all the way in the end of August, September.
Congratulations. I was mentioning at the beginning of the program that, you know, I really think of you as sort of the anchor over there at Kaka'ako, because you were the person there before all of the SALT project popped up. And, you know, you feel like that, I think, to anyone who's been coming to Bevy for a long time. You do feel like you're the solid anchor of that whole project. I mean, talk about seeing a neighborhood appear around you, Christian.
Oh, yeah. I mean, thanks to, you know, yourself and your team who had, like, the great foresight of showing us what Kaka'ako could be. I mean, the transformation has just been absolutely amazing. Just watching it kind of just, like, grow up, like, over the years. And from what I understand, they're still not done.
They're still not done. But, you know, I'm just having a flashback, actually, to walking into what is now Bevy and remembering what it looked like as that. I mean, you have to say that bar was a mess the first day we walked in that Friday afternoon and took a look at it. I'm sure there were several times along that journey where you started to think, why did she make us do this? Why did she say we should take over this bar? But it's really turned out to be, I mean, it's a phenomenal place. Bevy is just known. I mention Bevy when I'm talking to people about, you know, who we work with, and there's not a person who doesn't know your name. I mean, you have such a reach across the broad stream. Was it like that right from the beginning? I'm trying to remember. Did you build that up slowly, or was Bevy a case where you opened the doors and everyone came because they knew it was something different?
I think, if I remember rightly, we kind of opened up and, like, on our first night, and, you know, all of this is a blur because you're trying to just get everything ready and, you know, put on your best face for your first night. But, I mean, we had, like, quite a bit of a line on our first evening, but that's because, you know, there was a lot of interest and, like, a lot of really cool things going on in Kaka'ako at that time. You know, there was, let's see, you had all the Lana Lane, you had the powwow, I had under my umbrella, you had Chef Martin Noguchi, and he had this pop-up taste kitchen. So there was a lot of, like, really artistic and also very creative places. So I think a lot of people were really excited to see, oh, what's this? Like an establishment, like a full bar, and kind of like moving into the neighborhood. So
it was all good stuff. Let's talk a little bit about from where you started. You always had a very clear vision of what Bevy was going to be, both with the cocktails and the mixology side of the business and with the food. Yeah. You always had a really good idea of exactly what kind of food you wanted to serve with the cocktails. Now that we're coming up to 8 years on, has that changed? Has the food taken over a little? Has it changed direction, or is it still very much a pairing of the two with equal importance to both?
Well, the experience at Bevy should be like a perfect amalgamation of like all the different areas of, you know, great food, great drinks, and, you know, good great service and a great atmosphere to like come and enjoy. But you know, our beginnings were kind of shaky because we didn't have like a full kitchen. So as we've moved on, like in the years, we were able to take over our next neighboring space, and then we've been able to put in a proper kitchen, you know. So I feel like our food has actually gotten better and better and better. And then, you know, given that, we've been able to attract a little bit better talent. And then right now, I say our food is really like on par, and a lot of people have been coming back for the food and not just the drinks as it used to be when we first opened.
Well done. I mean, that is something to be able, you're always going to attract people because of your cocktails, because of your reputation in the bartending industry. People are always going to know to come to you for that. But the fact that you've got the food to the level that it is today and people just raving about it is really quite an achievement. Christian, I wanted to chat with you a little bit about the cocktail scene in general. So when Bevy first started, you were pretty cutting edge. You were leading the way. You, as we mentioned, had a really defined idea about what you wanted to do, what you wanted to serve. Drinks were seasonal. They were locally made. They still are. Things are made from scratch. But the bartending industry is definitely a follower of fashion. It's definitely something that changes quickly, I think really largely due to the level of talent that it attracts. What I'm going to do is we have, if you don't mind, we have to go and do this PGA break, and we have to take a really quick break. If you could stay with us for a couple of minutes through this break, if that's okay, and talk to us a little bit about where we are with cocktails now. Can you stay with us? Yes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, we're going to go for a really short break on your PGA update. Stay with us. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu, 92.7 FM and 1420 AM.
Welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. It's so nice to be with you on this Thursday morning. I hope everything is going great in your world. Thank you for joining us. If you want to know more about what we do in our work with restaurants, then please visit our website, mojomcgarry.com. And if you want to hear anything you may have missed on a recent podcast, then you can listen to all of them at radiomojohawaii.com. We're talking with Christian Self. He's the owner of Bevy Bar in Kaka'ako. You can find him at bevyhawaii.com, and that's Bevy with one V. Bevy, of course, is our favorite word for drinking in Britain, and that's where the name came from. Bevyhawaii.com will give you a really good idea about Christian's amazing bar and food if you have not already been there. Christian, thanks for staying with us through that break. Let's get to the kind of fashion of cocktails. Am I right in saying that, or am I being a little unkind? I mean, I always feel that of all the industries within the food industry, the beverage industry is the one that has the most cutting edge, contemporary approach to everything.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on there, Jill.
How do you keep up? I mean, I know that for the longest time, I mean, you were in Vegas, you ran a bartending school, you're very, very much on the leading edge. Once you're in Hawaii, are we still kind of the center of what's happening with cocktails? Because we certainly were, several years ago. Is it just as easy to keep up here and know what's going on and what's current as it is in Las Vegas, for example?
It's a little bit harder, you know, being isolated out here. And, you know, we only get so many, brands of liquors that come in, and we might get a slow rollout. So we're always looking for we've done our, diligence, we've done our research, we're really excited, but then we can't quite get our hands on all the ingredients that we're looking for. But, we are, blessed with, having some great distributors out here, like Southern Wine and Spirits, who are trying to keep up with, all the current trends. But I'd say Hawaii has, such a depth in talent that we kind of, set our own trends for want of a better word. We're always looking further afield to see, what's coming up in the world of cocktails. But, just the amount of talent that Hawaii has grown itself, and just the amount of, amazing bartenders plying their trade at different establishments all over the island, it's really, really incredible. And now you can there used to be just a handful of places, but now there's more than a dozen places where you can go and get really good drinks at any time.
And, one of the things that I've always loved about the beverage industry here is the fact that you are all so collaborative and so supportive. I mean, you never can talk to one of you without you all complimenting, you know, someone else in your field who you all admire. I think that is particularly unique to your industry. And I think it's a reason that the success of craft cocktails and of all of these incredible bartenders, you know, has happened in Hawaii. There's just a lot of love out there for you all.
Yeah, I think we've all grown up and like we've all kind of like learned so much from each other that we, you know, we keep like measuring ourselves by measuring like exactly like what everybody else is doing. And so we wouldn't be like where we are today in the terms of like the drink scene if it wasn't for like the hard work and the endeavors of all the others. So it's exactly right to just look and like compliment your neighbors and be like compliment the, you know, the fellow people in your industry. Because, you know, they're working really hard. Like I said, I mean, there's such a, like a dearth of talent out there now. It's really, really an exciting time for Hawaii cocktails and the whole scene.
We are talking with Christian Self. You can find more about Christian's Bevy Bar by going to bevyhawaii.com. They are, of course, on Oahu Street, right on the corner where Salt begins. Christian, what I've always loved about your craft is that you can create a drink for anybody who walks into your bar. You have some beautiful creations that are from the classics to handcrafted, but you have a talent of just looking at someone and saying, well, what do you like, and then coming up with a cocktail for them. Is that something that you've always enjoyed doing? Because I know you're very rarely wrong.
Yeah, that's actually one of the biggest joys for me about the interactions that I have with some of our amazing guests and visitors is, you know, we like to say there's a drink for everybody on the menu, but if there isn't, then we can always craft something that should be ideal for what you need. Everybody's drinking habits. I mean, we're not always stuck drinking the same old thing. Our palates and tastes change even as much as our moods. So there should be, we should always be able to cater towards those.
One of the drinks that has caught my attention recently on your menu, just because of the name, but I can also taste it, is Colonel Mustard. Just to give us an example of how you create cocktails, would you just talk us through a Colonel Mustard and what is it?
Yeah, so Colonel Mustard actually came about from a Halloween treat that we had going on, and where we played Clue with our guests, and everybody would be able to, if you ordered a drink or you talked to one of our staff, and all the staff were dressed as characters from the board game Clue, or Cluedo as we call it in England. So we took Buffalo Trace whiskey and we infused it with toasted yellow and brown mustard seeds and coriander seed, and we let that sit for about 24 hours. You get a nice little bit of spice from the mustard and a little bit of citrus from the coriander. And then we pair that up with a yellow chartreuse, so a couple of dashes of orange bitters, a dash of Domaine de Canton, because the ginger and the mustard goes really well together, and a little bit of a little splash of fresh lemon juice, just to help brighten up all the flavors. We pour that, we stir it up, and then we pour it over a nice big chunk of clear ice. And top it off with a dehydrated lemon wheel, which has been basted with honey, and then topped off with the same toasted mustard and coriander seeds.
Now, if that doesn't give you an idea of the passion and the attention to detail that Christian and his team have over at Bevy, I don't know what does. That was a beautiful description, and it sounds absolutely amazing. Christian, I just love talking to you, and I'm so happy that you managed to make some time to share a little Bevy this morning with everyone who's listening. We wish you continued success, and I hope to talk to you again very soon. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for having us on. It's always a pleasure. We love talking to you. Love hearing that Scottish accent as well.
Same here from my favourite Scouser. Thank you to everybody who joined us this morning, Thomas Obungan and Christian Self. That's going to do it for this week. We'll see you next time on Radio Mojo Hawaii.